Well, it is great to be back with you this morning. Despite popular belief, I was not at the beach last week. I was actually at family camp with our children's ministry. We had 25 youth and children and families come together at Camp Rockfish to spend a weekend worshiping together, learning together, fellowshipping together. And now the highlight of the weekend came on Sunday morning, around this time when you're worshiping right now, where we baptized three of our children in a river in Fayetteville. Now, I have to tell you, there is nothing more intimidating than baptizing a six-year-old in moving water. But it was a blessed time, a joyful time, and a reminder of our scripture passage this morning, where the Spirit comes and baptizes the disciples in a new way. It welcomes them into a new sort of family. So we're going to look at this Pentecost scripture once more. But will you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, and fall afresh on us. Come, Holy Spirit, and fall afresh on us. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. Well, in the fall of 2017, Reverend Andy Thulis, an Anglican priest, wrote an open letter to his congregation at All Saints Church in Burbage, England. Now, this letter sent to his church was not a pastoral letter to invite his congregation to a church potluck meal later that week. Nor was it a letter to the congregation encouraging them to participate in a local mission project. Instead, this letter, penned by Pastor Thulis, was to inform his congregation that they were, without a doubt, the worst church he had ever been a part of in all his years of ministry. In his open letter, he wrote this. He said, "The Sunday morning worship experience at All Saints is not warm nor welcoming, and it certainly does not portray real love, joy, or peace. Instead," he says, "it reflects an organization that is characterized by grumbling, gossip, and disunity. This church is far too cynical and negative, and I've been told there are even some church members out there actively trying to sabotage my ministry. The arrogance of this congregation is wearisome, and it drains energy, robs enthusiasm, and reveals that some people would prefer not to have a pastor at all." Andy Thulis went on to criticize his congregation's singing and their attention to church policy and polity. And he ended his letter to the church by saying this. He said, "My wife and I are not prepared to sacrifice our health or our marriage for a local church in which internal politics and unnecessary power games cause such hurt and division." And with that, he quit. He gave up on his church. He decided it just wasn't worth the struggle anymore. There was a Pew Research study that came out last year. It said the largest growing religious group in the United States today are not the Hindus, nor the Buddhists, nor even the Christians. Instead, the largest growing religious group in America today are the, quote, religious unaffiliated. Now, that's what's growing the fastest, those people who claim no religious identity whatsoever. You see, more and more people are leaving organized religion. And it's true of all faith traditions, not just ours. You can ask Jason Hawk, who's going to teach our class on Islam this summer, and he will tell you. More and more young Muslims are leaving the mosque, and more young Jews are leaving the temple, and more young Christians are leaving the church. And why are they doing it? Well, they just decided it's not worth the effort anymore. Oh, they still claim to be spiritual. They still say they believe in a God. They just don't want their religion to be organized. They're tired of the grumbling, the gossip, the disunity, and they've given up on communities of faith altogether. But today is Pentecost Sunday. And today is a Sunday when we remember that time long ago when the Holy Spirit descended upon the Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia. And God made them into one body, one body. God formed them into a community of believers. Today is the birthday of the church. It is a time when we remember what it means to share in life and faith together. Because yes, there are some people who have given up on organized religion. There are some people who have given up on the church, but of course, that's not me. The truth is, I need the church. I need this community of faith. I need the church because the church loves me exactly as I am, but the church also refuses to allow me to stay that way. You see, every week when I come to church, this church challenges me. It challenges me to grow in some way, to become the person God has created me to be. The church is unafraid to speak truth to me, to tell me what I don't want to hear because it's good for me. And I need those voices in my life. I need a church who can remind me of what is true in this world, even when I am not ready to hear it. I need the church. Vernon Tyson is a former pastor in our conference who tells the story of serving a church in Oxford, North Carolina back in the 1970s. You see, racial tensions were high in Oxford back in the 70s, and there were riots just about every month. Vernon said he decided to deal with the issue of racism in his community head on. And so he organized Sunday morning worship to address racism. He invited black preachers to come preach at his church in his pulpit, and his congregation hated him for it. In fact, one of his church leaders came up to him one Sunday and said, "Vernon, I want you to know you don't have one bit of support for what you're doing in our church." He said, "I've asked around, and there is not one church member that wants those black preachers in our sanctuary." The man paused, and his voice softened just a little bit. "Vernon," he said, "I guess our congregation really does need this much more than I thought." He said, "You go on and invite those preachers to come in, Vernon, and don't back down. Remember, we need this." Yes, the church. The church is a place that can speak truth to us even when we don't want to hear it. And I need that voice in my life because only a community like this one, only a community of faith, can take all of my rough edges and turn me into something more beautiful. I need the church. I need this community of faith. See, I need a church because the church is a place that teaches me how to live in relationship with other people, especially people that are not like me. After all, our world has become more and more fractured, more and more divisive. And I don't know about you, but it feels like to me that people just don't know how to get along anymore. I mean, I watch CNN, you watch Fox News. I drink Coke, you drink Pepsi. I drive a hybrid, you drive a gas-guzzling SUV. How dare you? You see, there's always some reason to be arguing with your neighbor, but Jesus said to love your neighbor and your enemy. And the church is a place where we come to do both because the truth is they're often the same person. This community of faith is a place where we learn how to live with people that are different than us. I remember being in a church finance meeting in one of my former congregations where our senior pastor went nose to nose with our mission chair over the church budget. The two men were arguing, disagreeing about which line items in the church budget should be counted as missional giving when presented to the congregation. Now, believe me when I tell you, there is nothing more awkward or uncomfortable than watching two 60-year-old men go to blows in a church parlor. Now, I thought I was going to have to step in and separate them at one point. Their faces were so red. But suddenly, one man turned to the other and he said, "Bob, I want you to listen to me, and I want you to listen good." He said, "Bob, I've been at this church my entire life, and I'm not going anywhere. And you've been here 7 years, and you're not going anywhere either. So, Bob, we got to learn how to get along. Because you and I, well, we have work to do." And with that, he extended his hand. Yes, I need a church, a community that can teach me how to love people that are different than me, some place that can teach me how to look past our differences and remind me that we are all called to love and serve the same God. I need the church. I need this community of faith. Because you see, not only does a church love me as I am and challenge me to be better, and not only does it teach me how to live in relationship with other people, but the church is also the place that has promised to be with me no matter where I am in my life. It's promised to be with me no matter what's going on in my life. When times are good, you are there. And when all hell breaks loose, you are there as well. See, the church is willing to show up when others won't. And you come to my doorstep, and you bring with you a casserole and a shoulder to cry on, and you remind me that God is good even when this world isn't. And I need a place that's going to be with me when life gets hard. John Buchanan, the former pastor at Fourth Presbyterian Church in Chicago, Illinois, tells the story of visiting a church member one day in hospice who was near the end of his life. The doctors had told this church member that he had just a few days to live, and Pastor Buchanan asked him how he was handling all the transitions. The man said he was doing okay, but he said the hardest part for him were always the evenings. You see, that's when his family returned home to their hotels, and he was left all alone at hospice with his thoughts. "But you know what I do?" he said. "When those moments come when I'm all by myself, do you know what I do? I pull out my tape player and I pull out my headphones and I listen to the 11 o'clock service at Fourth Church. You see, the women of the church, the congregational care team, they've been by to visit me every week since I got sick, and they bring me a copy of the worship service even when I can't go. And I have hundreds of them. And so at night I listen to them. And it brings me a sense of peace. And I always fall asleep. Sometimes it's during the anthem or the prelude. Sometimes it's even during your sermon. But as I close my eyes, the walls of this hospice house melt away, and I feel like I'm surrounded by a community that loves me. Yes, Parthians and Medes, and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, all together in one place, and God called it the church. Yes, there are some people out there who don't need it. There are some people out there who would rather try to make it through this life on their own. I'm just not one of those people. Because other people can leave the church, but I'm staying. Because you are the people who make God's love real for me, and for that, I am ever so grateful. Yes, happy birthday, Pinehurst United Methodist Church. May this be the beginning of another wonderful year of sharing life and faith together. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Will you pray with me? God, as long ago, your Spirit came together and bound the disciples into one body. So we pray now that your Spirit would alight upon us, that though we are many, you would make us into one community of faith. We thank you, Lord, that we do not have to journey through this life on our own, but we can share faith together, knowing that we are being led towards you, and that when our strength gives way, others are there to pick us up. So God, bless your church. Send your Holy Spirit to be upon us once more and fill us with such strength and spirit that we might go into your world and announce your love for others. For we offer this prayer in your Son's name. Amen.